this evening. I'm indeed delighted to be here and am honored and privileged in so many ways to be asked to come and stand and proclaim God's Word to you tonight. I do have some from Sublignan, and I appreciate my family from there being here. I do have my physical family with me, my wife and my son Dylan, and we are just delighted to be here tonight. Before I get started, if you see me straining to read the scriptures or my notes, we have gotten back from a camping trip, and during the time period of transporting stuff from the camper into the house and different things, I've lost my glasses. So I've got my wife's glasses. So let's see if we can go ahead and laugh and everything, and I don't know how they're going to work. But we will do the best that we can so that maybe I can read. And if not, I may have to call on some brethren to read the scripture for me. If you have your Bibles tonight, though, it's been announced, we're going to be looking at I Am the True Vine. And I want to begin our study tonight by going back to the Old Testament, to the book of Deuteronomy at chapter 6, beginning at verse 4 and reading down through verse 10. Throughout the Old Testament, God made the proclamation to the people. He said, know me and live. Do what I tell you and live. In God we have life. In Christ we have life. There is none other. So when we go to our text tonight, that in John chapter 15, where he says, I am the true vine, it is in that true vine that we have life. But I want you to notice with me Deuteronomy chapter 6, and what Moses is commanded to tell the people, the children of Israel, what the Lord God says. So if you read along with me for just a moment. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. Here in the book of Deuteronomy, we see where Moses is commanding the children of Israel to do something. And that something is to abide in what God has told the people to do. Abide in his teachings, abide in his ways, and live. And throughout the book of Deuteronomy and even the book of Numbers is constantly being reminded to them. Moses is constantly going to them and saying, obey God and live, you know. Do what he says to do. Now turn with me to the book of John chapter 15. This is where our text will be coming from tonight. Give you the opportunity to get to there. There are several approaches of which I could go with this lesson tonight, and some of those ways which I thought about. Number one is when we look at John chapter 15, certainly we could take a lesson and say, well, let's talk about the deity of Christ. Let's talk about Christ being God himself. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was a Word, and Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we certainly know then that Christ was certainly God himself. We certainly know that by him coming to this earth, as we read in the gospel accounts, he was born of a virgin, that being Mary, his mother, earthly mother. He is incarnate. So he left the spiritual realm and left the spiritual body and came to earth and did that. So we could talk about the deity of Christ. We could also utilize this particular text and we could talk about the church itself and discuss about it, the true vine. And we may touch on that just a little bit tonight. But unless one is part of the true vine, one cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Christ said himself, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And the will of the Father is re-echoed in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians there, where we have listed the seven ones, where there is one body, there's one spirit, one hope of your calling, and so on. So we could look at it that way. But the way of which I have decided to discuss it tonight is this. I want to look at the true vine in the terms or the scheme of discipleship. I think it's something that we all need to understand, that unless we abide in the true vine, unless our discipleship is faithful to the Lord and God, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So let's look at John chapter 15 for just a moment. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch, and is withered, and they gather them, and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Throughout the Bible, we have several examples of where the Lord says, I am. Some of those examples I'd like to look at for just a moment. We can see in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. Moses said unto God, he said, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, what am I going to tell them? Who am I going to tell them sent me to lead them out? I can't see with these glasses when I look out. Who am I going to tell them sent me to lead these children out? Who am I going to go to and say, here's the authority I'm coming to you with? The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto them, the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. In Matthew 22, at verse 32, it says, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but is the God of the living. And in Mark chapter 14, verse 61 and 62, he held his peace and answered nothing. This is Christ. And again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then in John chapter 10, verses 9 through 14, Christ said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And he goes on to say that I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 1:11, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. In Revelation 1 and verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So we see then throughout the Bible, throughout even the Old Testament, numerous examples of where the Lord God says, I am. And when I say the Lord God, I am certainly including Christ in that. So tonight I want to take just a few moments to look at John chapter 15. And when we look at the first two words of that particular text, it says, I am. And when I started studying for this lesson, I'd oftentimes read the scripture and not really paid attention to those first two words. I am. But do you realize that everything that follows these two words hinges upon these two words? How does it do that? Well, here it is. I am shows a state of ownership. It shows possessiveness. It shows individuality, singularity, properness. It's profound in usage and making a statement. Sometimes it may make one to be of a personal nature, for example. Its usage can, in some cases, be exclusive in meaning and in terms. So when Christ said, I am, he's making a personal statement. He's making this everything that is to follow in this particular text to be personal. Then you notice the next few words there. He says, I am the true vine. I am shows that state of ownership. The true vine shows individuality and singularity. We could certainly look at this and say, well, the church is singular. When Christ told Peter, he said, Who do men say that I am? And he told him, he said, But who do you say that I am? And he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew chapter 16. So we see singularity there. We also see the word true, which indicates there is no falsehood. Every precisely stated proposition has to either be true or false. It can't be both ways. And certainly if Christ says, I am the true vine, then it can't be another vine out there. There can be no falsehood in that precisely stated proposition. Plain and simple. We also see that He is the root. He is the foundation. He is the building block. Christ Himself said He is the chief cornerstone. He said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When He did so, when death was destroyed, He built His church. I want to look at some I am facts tonight for just a moment. John 14 at verse 6, Christ said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is truth in that. That is an I am fact. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. As disciples tonight, as children of God, we've got to come to an understanding of that. We can take and try to devise our own means and our own ways, but it will never work. When we look out in the world today, I'm sure that many times you all have done this. Look at how many different beliefs there are, how many different denominations. And it all hinges back or goes back to the fact that people decided, well, I don't particularly like this part of the scripture, so I'm going to keep everything else and throw that out and start my own church, if you will. And as time progressed, churches grew. Over 2,000 different denominations today. Over millions and millions of quote-unquote disciples of Christ. But I want to look and see what is a true disciple. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. He saith unto him, But who say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Again, you'll notice in that particular text where Peter makes that statement, it's very profound in meaning. He said, Thou art the Christ. It's singular. You are the only Christ. You're the only one. You're the only foretold coming Messiah, as was prophesied by Joel and Isaiah. He also said, Thou art the Son of the living God. We see that He is the only Son. And that there's only one living God. Ephesians 5:23. It says, For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. So we see then I am facts, a singularity, and true meaning of it. When it comes to terms of discipleship, in our text tonight of John chapter 15, it's the night before the crucifixion of Jesus. He's just finished eating the Passover with the disciples. He's washed their feet. He's told them what's about to take place. And then you go to John chapter 14. And we see where He gives them some hope and some comforts. In verses 1 through 3. Where He tells them that I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare it, I'll come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. He's also given them instruction on how to continue without Him being there, holding their hand, if you will. And then we find in John chapter 15 instructions as to how they are to continue to be His disciples. The root of discipleship is found in the I am the true vine. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the Lord and Master. I am the resurrection. These statements tell us who Jesus is. He is the Messiah. The root of discipleship lies in knowing this fact. Matthew 16 and verse 16. Exactly what Peter knew. We must know Jesus to be His disciple tonight. To know Jesus is to know His doctrine. John 17 and verse 17, if any man will do His will, to know He is the source of the words of eternal life. John 6, 68 and 69, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. To know that He alone has salvation. Acts 4 and verse 12, Neither is there salvation in any other name except Jesus Christ. So to be a disciple of Christ, we must understand the root of discipleship. That is, He is the true vine. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 for just a moment. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. The Apostle Paul, as he writes to the church at Philippi, beginning back at verse 7, what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. But indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. And then you drop down to verse 10, and he goes on to say that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. So we must know Christ. The Apostle Paul was trying to get this across to these Philippian brethren. For you to know Christ, you must know His power and the power of His resurrection. Knowing Jesus is the root of discipleship. The relationship of the disciple, as we see in the book of John there in our text, we're the branches. I think we've established and we understand that Christ is the true vine. There is no other vine other than Him. But what we've got to understand now is that as you continue reading that particular text, it talks about discipleship when he talks about the branches. He says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. So who is he talking to? He's certainly talking to his disciples. Branches grow out of the vine. When I was doing some research on this, I thought about grafting. It's a horticultural technique. It's where tissues from one plant are inserted into those of another. And basically what they do, in most cases, one plant is selected for its roots, and this is called the stalk or the root stalk. And then the other plant is selected for its stems, its leaves, flowers, or fruits. And this is called the scion. And the scion contains the desired genes to be duplicated. So when you take horticulture and you apply it to what we've got here, we see what Christ is talking about. He said, I'm the true vine, you are the branches. Now we've got to also understand that many of these branches were those that are not Jews. We have Gentiles now that have become branches. They have become disciples. And Christ is instructing them just as well as He was the Jews. If you want to continue with me, you must abide in me and my teachings. As disciples, we must grow. That's the first thing I think that Christ wanted to instruct His disciples, His apostles. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it puts it like this. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So for us to be disciples of Christ, for us to continue to be what we need to be and continue to abide in Him, to have that relationship with His disciples, we must grow. We've got to grow. If we're not growing, then the opposite of that would be dying. The young in the faith must grow. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So we see then that we are to grow. But I want us to look at the book of Hebrews for just a moment. The Hebrew writer, I think, puts it plainer than anyone else. And just FYI, I guess, I believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews too. We don't know that for a fact, so it's not factual. But I believe that Paul did write it. A lot of the wording there certainly alludes to the Pauline apostleship. But look at Hebrews chapter 5 for just a moment. This is an area where I think that so many times, so many people will struggle. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk, is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with individuals who claim to be branches in Christ. We're dealing with individuals who claim to be disciples of Christ. And these individuals are lacking something. They're lacking something called growth. Tonight, as disciples of Christ, we must grow. We've got to grow. And as we look back at our text in just a moment, we'll see what happens to these branches that don't grow. As mature Christians, we must grow. We must have life in ourselves. The church today is dependent upon our growth. If we don't grow, the church doesn't grow. The Lord gave the Great Commission in the book of Mark, also in Matthew. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We cannot go and preach and teach the gospel as disciples, as branches of the true vine, if we're not knowledgeable in it. If we don't grow thereby. The Hebrew writer is addressing these individuals and saying, you ought to be able to teach right now. It's sad to say, but we have so many people today in the Lord's church, so many times, either because of nervousness or because they just don't like talking to people or whatever the case might be, but could not sit down and explain the plan of salvation to someone. That's sad. The plan of salvation is simplistic. It's the basis of everything that we stand for. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. How one gets into Christ. How one becomes a babe of Christ. And how one continues to grow. Branches apart from the roots, apart from the main vine, the true vine, have no life in and of themselves. If you break off a branch off a grapevine, it's going to wither and die. But if you break it off and you graft it into the true vine, and you nurture it, and you take care of it, it will grow. When we break off from sin in the world, when we're no longer transformed, or no longer conforming, to the world, but we're transforming by the renewing of our minds. We break ourselves off from sin. We break ourselves off from the world, and we connect ourselves to Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we begin to grow. And we do that by studying 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Be diligent. That's what New King James says. King James says, study to show ourselves approved unto God. The Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone who believes. In Romans 10, verses 1 through 3, we have no life of our own. We must rely upon the righteousness of Christ. But in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is this, that they might be saved. And that is my prayer for us tonight. For each and every one in this room, that we might be saved. But we cannot be saved if we're not part of the true vine. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And then in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, and be found in him not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now let's turn back to our text, John chapter 15, for just a moment. As we read that, verse 2, it says, every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruits. Then we drop on down through there, going to the last part of that particular text. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Tonight I want to ask a question then. Are we truly disciples of Christ? Are we branches of the true vine? And that's a question that we have to ask ourselves and a question that we must answer ourselves. Are we part of the true vine? Christ said, I am the true vine. There are many falsehoods out there. In the book of Corinthians, Paul addressed the church there, and he was having to deal with certain situations. He had situations of individuals who were involved in fornication, individuals who were involved in trying to create their own doctrines, individuals who were involved in so many other different things. And he had to deal with those issues and those problems. And basically what he did is he said, you're not part of the true branch. You're not part of the true vine. Unless you become part of that true vine, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done this or done that? What is the Lord's response to that? You can almost picture him on Judgment Day as those individuals say that. And he looks at them and he's like, I don't know who you are. I don't remember you being one of the branches off of me. I don't remember you being part of me. There are many bodies. There are not many bodies of Christ. Only one. In Romans 12, verse 5 says, so we being many are one body in Christ and every one members of one another. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, it says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or have all been made to drink into one Spirit. In Ephesians 4 and verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you were called, and one hope of your calling. One must be in and abide in the true vine. John 7:17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So tonight, are you part of the true vine? Many will say unto him that day, Lord, Lord. It's sad when we stop and think about it. There may be some of us sitting here tonight to think that we're doing everything that we're supposed to be doing. Yet Christ may look at us and say, I just don't remember you. I don't remember you being part of the true vine. We're commanded throughout the Scripture to do a lot of different things. But one of those things that he tells us to do in the book of Revelation chapter 2 is to be thou faithful unto death. And we receive a crown of righteousness. We're also told to go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel. We're also told to worship him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4. We're also told to lay by in store. And to give back to him what rightfully is. 1 Corinthians. So we have a number of different things that we're told to do and commanded to do. And certainly given the true vine example of the life that we're supposed to live. Tonight, are you living the life that you need to live? Are you looking like the true vine? If you take a grapevine and you graft into it with another type of grape to get a different grape, if you will, maybe a better grape, you're still going to have grapes. It just may be an enhanced grape. You might have a grape that has seeds and a grape that doesn't have seeds, and one might be smaller than the other and one might be sweeter than the other. But when you combine the two together, you get a better grape. Christ says you've got to look like the true vine. You've got to be part of the true vine. If you're not part of that true vine tonight, by the example that you live, by the life that you live, we want to encourage you tonight to change that. When you go out in the world, according to the book of Matthew, are you the salt of the earth and are you the light of the world? Does the world look upon you as being different? Does the world look upon you as being something that's not like them? Are you light that exposes darkness and sin? If you're not, then are you really part of the true vine? The second part of that is, have you ever been grafted into the true vine? Have you ever become a member of the Lord's church? His one body. If you've not done that tonight, you have an opportunity to take care of that before you leave tonight. You can leave this building, going home, rest assured, knowing that heaven will be your home. We went to the funeral home this afternoon, and I think Curry went there also. Max Williams, Terry Williams' dad. He said a long time ago that he was ready to go home. He told his neighbor, as Terry and I were talking, he told his neighbor here just the other day, he said, "You know, my bags are packed. I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to go home." What a wonderful statement to be able to make. And now he's passed on from this life into eternity, into sweet rest. Wouldn't that be a great thing for you to do tonight? To know that as you lay your head down tonight, that you too can enter into sweet rest one day. If you can come believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins, turn away from the life that you live in this world, to say, "I don't want any more part of it. But I want to be part of the true vine." Be willing to make that sweet confession, as you see in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. To confess before this audience that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then be buried with Him in baptism, to have your sins washed away, just as they did on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, where they cried out to Peter and the other apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved?" Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. There is no other way. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Christ Himself said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." Just as we see with the branches, there's coming a day when those dried up branches that have been broken off from the true vine will be gathered up and they'll be burned. Heaven is just as real as any "I am" that God ever made. Because He said that heaven is there for the devil and his angels. It's reserved for those individuals when that day comes. I don't want you to be part of that. So please, if you're not part of the true vine tonight, as the Lord's invitation is extended, as we see in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, which is, "Come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Consider that as this invitation hymn is sung, and get that load off of you that you may be carrying around tonight. Song has been selected and it's there to encourage you. And we're here to pray with you and for you. So whatever your need may be, we want you to be part of the true vine tonight. Just together we stand as we sing.